please turn to the back of your Trinity hymnal to page 672. We will continue our shorter catechism lesson. We have arrived at question 102. Once again, I'll read the question and let the congregation read in unison the answer with me. Question 102 states, what do we pray for in the second petition? In the second petition, which is thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. I want to bring to your attention question 16 of the Shorter Catechism. This question states, did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity. All mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him, fell with him in his first transgression. Again, question 18, wherein consists the sinfulness that the estate wherein two men fell? The sinfulness of that estate wherein two men fell consists in their guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is called, commonly, original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. You see here in the second petition, there's parts that I want to address. One, we're going to acknowledge the shortcomings that we currently have as mankind. And number two, we're going to show you what the divines are showing you in the precepts of what we are praying for. So thus, what are we acknowledging here? Why did I read those two questions and the answer? It is because with this petition, we are acknowledging that all of mankind is by nature led under the dominion of sin and Satan. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3 states, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too, all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So you see here, I want you to draw your attention in the petition. In the petitions going forward, we should be showing a sort of point where we are acknowledging our shortcomings. And in this petition, our shortcomings of being fallen into sin is brought to the forefront. Now, it's kind of interesting. How can you take thy kingdom come and our shortcomings and bring these two to light? Well, then, if we are praying for God's kingdom to come, then, just as funny how we read in Judges chapter 8, in the first portion of it, we do see how God takes hold and destroys his enemies. So therefore, do we see in this petition that we are praying that God destroy the kingdom of sin and of Satan? Psalm 68, verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. So now, the interesting precipice here, another point of our answer is dealing. And I want to bring to your attention questions 20, 21, and 23. But though I won't read them full in much because my time is short, but I do want to bring to the questions and enlighten the answers that do follow. Of question 20, it states, did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? And that God, in the answer, having out of his good mere pleasure, from all eternity elected some to everlasting life, and entered into a covenant with grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. Then that follows. Who is this Redeemer of God's elect? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, becoming man, and so was and continues to be God and man in distinct natures, but in one person forever. So then how does he execute his office as a redeemer? He then does it as prophet, priest, and king. Psalm 68:18. You have ascended on high. You have led captives, your captives. You have received gifts from men. So then it goes on to the next portion of our answer, which deals with the praying of the kingdom of grace and its advancement, and so much more that we ourselves and others are brought into it, and the key word, kept in it. We see here in Romans 11, 25 and 26, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. But there was a partial hardening that has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, so that all of Israel will be saved. If the gospel is to propagate throughout the entire world, the expectation were the Jews at the time were to take it and go forward and move and advance God's kingdom. But notice here, the explanation that Paul is giving to show you that in Israel not doing their job, he is gone now to bring in the Gentiles. Aha, the mystery. For what is the mystery? For wasn't it stated by Paul in Romans 9:6? Not all of Israel was Israel. So then, do we see here the understanding again that comes with thy kingdom, the bringing of God's people into the covenant, the Gentile, and also the Jews will be called. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart desires and prayer to God for Israel, they may be saved. And again, Galatians 3, 28. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave or free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So then you notice the no distinction in the eyes of the Messiah. And he states it in his high priestly prayer to those who share as he is your federal head. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those you have given to me, for they are yours. So if you are God's people, you know, and you can see why you will want to see the advancement of his kingdom. Again, we want to see the advancement of God's kingdom, and in this, we're going to see what we're acknowledging and praying for and seeing his kingdom come. So being the rightful king that he is, being sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ruling, he has given people to do his bidding. To the church, we pray in the aspect for moral and upright men who can come and furnish and bestow his ordinances. They will purge and protect the church from corruption and to show the ordinances of Christ, that they may be purely dispensed and made effectual to the converting of those that are yet in their sins, and confirming, comforting, and building up those who are also readily converted. Matthew 9:38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So I bring your attention here, and I will be short with this particular piece, but in Acts 4, we see the working of the apostles and the miracles that are being done early in the church. But then the people, the Jews more particularly, looked at the apostles and seen the work that they were doing. And how could this be so? How could untrained men heal a lame man? Well, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, after being captured, he speaks in front of the Sanhedrin and states to the people, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. So you notice the opportunity that the Messiah has given the apostles and healing the man, being captured, then to extol to a crowd of people who hate their guts to exclaim the gospel and to show fruit that they are continuing to advance God's kingdom. They say later, and I'll continue on the piece, after they were released, they continued. And notice how they were trying to work with the people who were having their hearts converted. Their prayer, they said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Notice the consistency. Notice the oneness they show by crying out to the Father, but working through the name of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then vastly, it continues in Acts 5. They show multitude of people were saved. They state those who believe were of one heart and one soul. And neither any one of them did anything that it possessed and lacked for the other. And all things were in common. So then great power was given to the apostles, and they witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Notice the light here. Notice the line that I'm trying to show you. God and his preservation of the church and the continued advancement of his kingdom has given men the power. And likewise, those gifts of the apostles have been shied away. Still, the bishops care for your soul. So the fact that we sit here, or we actually stand in this pulpit and preach to you the workings and the truths of Christ should be a show for that Christ still is with you today when we speak his truth. But to those who still think and confuse themselves that they are within the kingdom and still under the dominion of sin and Satan, let me show you what happens to those people. So an example is made here of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They sold a possession, and he kept parts of the proceeds. And his wife, also aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now Peter, seeing this, knowing, he asked the question, "Has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? And while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your own control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." So you can see here the precipice that are on the bishops to care for your soul. And the honesty and expectation for you to be obedient to the law of God. For you will see, and it will come to light before you leave. If you are with us, you will continue. But if you weren't, well, Satan will fill your heart. And what happens? Now, in this particular instance, the man fell down and breathed his last death, and also his wife. And what's so funny, seeing that they wanted to test the wife, they said, "Is it true that you sold the land for so much?" They said, she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look at the feet of those who have buried your husband at the door, and they will carry you out." And she breathed her last breath, and her husband were buried. I don't know if they were buried together, but that's a different story for a different day. But I bring this to your attention only because, though things may not be this great, the fact that this happened, and in particular in front of men who had great power of God, these rumblings were heard. So imagine you to be in the church and to see the word of God go forward. To think that though, in different places, you give me a country and you give me their situation and I don't doubt it. In China, we have underground churches. In Iraq, when there was one king who cared for the people, though he had a different God in of itself, hired the Christian people because he felt safe. If you give me the various stories, I have no doubt to hear the working and the advancement of God's kingdom in and of itself. But I don't want you to see and read everything by your newspaper to think, hey, it's all here. And why so? Because coming to the last portion of our answer, which explains the advancement of God's glory and that it may be hastened. We are not looking, for example, like a full preterist to be in the second earth. And how could that be so? We still sin. In our time of glorification, the understanding from that standpoint going forward is that we, in that transfiguration, we are under a new light and we are under a new world. And we will no longer see the ramifications of sin in what we have in this day. So, I want to close with this. If we are looking to pray for the advancement of God's kingdom, really you are asking that God, be it that I may not see it, be it that I may not understand it, I do know that you continually are with us. I do know that you continually preserve our life and look after our souls. So it's with this we continue to ask that you be with us, that when we look to you in our time of counseling, that you will show your hand ready and willing to care for us.